You're tuned into the sounds of Zach Poff's pond station at Wave Farm in Acre, microphones at the bottom of the pond, recorded earlier today. You can tune in the pond station live at WGXC.org. You're tuned into All Together Now, WGXC's evening news program, Monday through Saturdays, 6 to 7 p.m. on 90.7 FM. Today we'll hear an interview from Brad Poster, the executive director of United Way for Columbia and Greene Counties, talking to Lana Medlock. We'll also hear local musician Kaylin Rock, who's performing May 28th at the Spotty Dog Books and Ale in Hudson with Stephen Bloom. She talks to Kieran Riley from the WGXC Afternoon Show before her performance. We also have news from Hudson, Catskill, Albany, Saugerties, Ravenna, Claverick, and Kingston Points Beyond on All Together Now.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
We take you now to
this radio broadcast.
You are tuned in to All Together Now, a collaborative one-hour news show for community radio stations in the Capital Region and New York's Hudson Valley. All Together Now features contributions from the public, along with programmers at WOOC in Troy and WGXC in Acre, featuring local and regional news, weather updates, and newsmaker interviews.
From the WGXC Newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio Daily News and Weather Report for Friday, May 27th, 2016. I'm Philip Grand. At the top of the news, Greg Hudson is reporting in the Daily Mail that the 46th state Senate district race between Republican incumbent George Amador Jr. and Democratic challenger Sarah Nicoli has heated up over the issue of comprehensive ethics reform in Albany. In comments made on Thursday, May the 26th, Nicoli referred to Amador as, and I quote, part of the problem with state government, end quote, she hopes to fix if elected. She said, and I quote, with over $500,000 a year in outside income and coffers filled with the same pay-to-play financing that got former state Senate Majority Leader Dean Skelos into hot water, George Amador exemplifies why we need real reforms in Albany, end quote. Amador responded, denying the allegations. He said Nicoli's comments were attention-seeking and not based in fact. He said, and I quote, her statements sound like typical political rhetoric from a very progressive, left-leaning agenda. I think it is unfortunate that we have a candidate wanting to run for public office that is not getting their facts straight, end quote. Amador went on to defend his record, saying he has supported ethics reform throughout his time in both the Assembly and in the Senate. Nicoli, a Democrat, has served as Palatinetown supervisor since 2014. She laid out her plan for ethics reform, calling on lawmakers to create tighter restrictions on the use of campaign funds and to close loopholes that allow individuals to circumvent the campaign donation cap, strip pension benefits from state and local officials convicted of felonies, and pass laws to increase campaign finance disclosure. You can read that full story in the Daily Mail. Hudson Police Commissioner Gary Graziano has suspended weekend alternate side parking for the duration of the summer, effective Friday, May the 28th. Drivers are permitted to park their vehicles on both sides of the street from 8 p.m. Friday through 8 a.m. on Sunday. Alternate side parking rules within the city limits will remain suspended on weekends only through September the 30th. The Pew Research Center is reporting a majority of American adults get their views on social media, according to a study conducted early this year by the center. Among the 62% who get their news from Facebook, Twitter, Reddit, and Tumblr, 18% do so often. Facebook is by far the largest social networking site, reaching 67% of all U.S. adults. The two-thirds of Facebook users who get news via the site amount to 44% of the general population. Pew found social media news consumers still get news from other sources. Roughly 2 out of the 10 Facebook users also get their news from radio, and about 3 in 10 tune in to local TV. You can read that full story in journalism.org. The March for Farm Worker Justice left Smithtown on Long Island on May 15th, heading to Albany with stops in Saugerties, Catskill, and Ravenna May 29th, 30th, and 31st. Marchers are attempting to bring attention to the need for legislative action to end the inequality that currently burdens farm workers in the state. The New York Civil Liberties Union filed suit on May the 10th against the state and Governor Andrew Cuomo over the state not allowing farm workers to organize. The group marches to Albany for Farm Worker Albany Day on Wednesday, June the 1st. Governor Andrew Cuomo announced $59.3 million in state and federal funding for upstate transit authorities on May the 26th, with almost a million set for Greene, Columbia, and Rensselaer counties. Greene County gets $489,916 for three buses and mobility management services. Columbia County gets $260,000 for operating assistance, vehicle replacement, and equipment, and $110,000 goes to Rensselaer County for operating assistance. Farther south, Ulster County receives $534,000 for operating assistance and one new bus. Dutchess County got $183,000 for operating assistance. Carrie Allen reports in the Register Star that the Chatham Bowl closes after 53 years on Tuesday, May the 31st. The general public, Chatham's varsity bowling team, and cast members for an episode of an Australian reality television show were among the bowlers over the years in Chatham, where computerized scorekeeping was never added. Chet Cross drew up the blueprints. His wife, Carol, took over when he died in 1986. And in 2005, the couple's daughter, Lynn Cross, and her husband, Ted Miner, bought the bowling alley. Now, though, they are looking forward to June the 1st. Miner said, and I quote, "It will be my first day off in years," end quote. You can read that full story in the Register Star. And for our final story, Katie Kosajansky is reporting in the Daily Mail that Greene County officials are moving forward on a plan to create a physical connection between the Olana and Thomas Cole historic sites. Earlier this month, the Greene County Legislature, Economic Development, and Tourism Committee authorized the creation of a $124,000 budget for the Hudson River Skywalk project after the county received grant funding from the State Department of State. The money received will pay for a feasibility study, planning and design for the Skywalk, construction drawings, a market study, and an economic impact analysis to determine any potential revenue gains. The undertaking will allow for the design and construction of pedestrian improvements for the Rip Van Winkle Bridge. The Greene County Legislature, the Cole House, Olana, Scenic Hudson, the State Bridge Authority, and the Village of Catskill have been actively involved in the planning process. You can read that full story in the Daily Mail. And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio Daily News and Weather Report for today, Friday, the 27th day of May 2016. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a nice weekend.
National Weather Service says there could be more rain overnight, 30% chance with a low around 64. Saturday, also a 30% chance of rain with a high near 85 and a low around 67. Rain continues to be a possibility Sunday with a 50% chance of rain, a high near 84 and a low around 64. And then Memorial Day Monday, showers are likely, mostly cloudy with a high near 76. You're listening to 90.7 WGXC Acre.
Next, we have these reports.
Governor Andrew Cuomo has introduced a package of bills to close a major loophole in New York State's campaign finance laws. The LLC loophole allows individuals to form multiple limited liability companies and use each one to give a candidate more than $60,000 in each election cycle. Jessica Wisniewski with Citizen Action of New York calls the governor's introduction of bills to finally close that loophole a really bold move.
He's willing to do it himself. He thinks it should be done for everyone. And now it's in the hands of the Senate Republican majority to let us know, as voters, whose side they're on.
Legislation to close the LLC loophole has passed the State Assembly several times, but has not yet made it through the Senate. Republican Senate Majority Leader John Flanagan called the governor's move a red herring that fails to address deeper problems, but Wisniewski notes that despite major corruption scandals, reform legislation has been slow in coming.
If the political will is only there for closing the LLC loophole this year, that would be a tremendously significant reform.
This month, the former leaders of both the Assembly and the Senate were sentenced to long prison terms on corruption charges. Ethics reform is high on the agenda of most New York voters, and closing the LLC loophole has long been at the top of the list. Wisniewski thinks legislators should be nervous about heading into elections this fall, having done nothing to clean up their act.
So I hope to see something done. If not, I think this will become a major election issue between now and November.
The current legislative session ends in just 3 weeks. For New York News Connection, I'm Andrea Sears.
You're listening to radio news about radio waves. Headlines from the ether. Headlines.
The Guardian has found in an investigation that new electronic gizmos such as Amazon's Echo violate the U.S. Children's Online Privacy Protection Act, or COPPA, set up to regulate the collection and use of personal information from anyone younger than 13. The story suggests companies such as Google, Apple, and others marketing artificial intelligence systems to young children could face multi-million dollar fines. Quote, "This is part of the initial wave of marketing to children using the Internet of Things," unquote, says Jeff Chester, executive director of the Center for Digital Democracy, a privacy advocacy group that helped write the law. Quote, "It is exactly why the law was enacted in the first place, protect young people from pervasive data collection," unquote. The story says Google's standalone home device, just announced but not yet on sale, and Apple Siri use young children and Cookie Monster from Sesame Street in their ads. Quote, "When your advertising markets this product to children and parents with children, that would absolutely trigger COPPA," unquote, says Kalia Barnes, associate director of the Electronic Privacy Information Center. Quote, "Recording children in the privacy of the home is genuinely creepy, and this warrants additional investigation by the Federal Trade Commission and the states," unquote. Amazon and Google claim they comply with COPPA, while an Apple spokesperson told The Guardian that the company complied and doesn't target kids. Read the full story in The Guardian. This is Tom Rowe for Wayfarm Radio and WGXC.
All Together Now, the 6 p.m. Monday through Saturday newscast for Greene and Columbia counties, is looking for contributors. If you have an idea for a regular or irregular segment, or if you want to interview the public at a local event or write stories for the WGXC newsroom at WGXC.org, send an email to info@WGXC.org. All Together Now.
Next up, Kieran Riley from the WGXC Afternoon Show speaks with Kaylin Rock ahead of her performance May 28th at the Spotty Dog Books and Ale with Stephen Bloom.
Thanks for joining us. Kieran here with you. We have a very special guest in the radio. You ready for this? Kaylin Rock. Am I saying that right?
You're saying it absolutely correct.
Yes, rock and roll. What a great name, first of all. You want to put your headphones on there so you can hear Chumbawamba is actually helping to introduce you right now. So, Kaylin Rock, in the studio, local musician, got an album coming out this weekend, is that true?
Actually, tomorrow.
Whoa, tomorrow?
Yeah, so I still have to get the masters, but they're going to be sent to me today.
Well, wow, you just said masters, and Chumbawamba just said master. something
it's a
with
sign
pomp and
that I'm
circumstance.
Getting my master's.
Okay, we are playing Farewell to the Crown right now, partly because it is the birthday of Oliver Cromwell, born in 1599 on this day. Oliver Cromwell raped and pillaged the motherland of Ireland. We're going to go and talk about that a little bit. You know, nothing too down for you folks. It's a beautiful Monday afternoon. A little bit of a sprinkle or here or there out there. Almost feels like humidity dropping, or when you stand underneath a pine tree and like there's moisture that just trickles down really gently. It's actually very harmless, pleasant stuff.
It's better than sap.
Yeah, and Caitlin, first of all, tell folks what you're going to do because you brought your guitar.
I did. I'm going to play some songs. I was thinking of playing one that I just wrote a couple weeks ago that I never played out before, and then some that are going to be on the EP that's coming out tomorrow.
Okay. Okay, but let's hear some songs. We're going to hear some songs with Caitlin Rock. The name of the album coming out tomorrow is...
All Night.
All Night. Okay. So stay tuned. And it's the birthday of Ella Fitzgerald today, born in 1917. Happy birthday, Ella, the first lady of song. Yeah, we're going to have to play a little bit of Ella Fitzgerald. Chris Newman on his way. He actually is coming in. Just got the message. He's running a little bit late. Lauren Giambroni is unable to join us again today. She has been here before and cannot come in. She's feeling a little under the weather. Lauren Giambroni, local medicine woman, local herbalist, makes tinctures and herbals and whatnot here in our neck of the woods. So keep an eye out, hopefully maybe for next week, Lauren Giambroni. We have just about half hour from now, Christian Swenningson will be coming and talking about local ethanol production. We are looking forward to hearing from that. Hopefully we'll have the folks at Miller's Crossing giving us a farm update just after the 5 o'clock hour. We want to hear what is going on out there in that dry, dry soil this spring, what kind of plants. Chris Cashin hopefully will be calling in. We have an anti-styrofoam activist that we were trying to line up for this week. Not able to do that, but we're hoping to do that next week. We try to do it all here on the afternoon show. Once again, welcome to the afternoon show. It's the birthday of Ella Fitzgerald, John James Audubon, born on this day in 1785. Oh, there you go. That's for John James Audubon. Oh, wait, no. That's for Ella Fitzgerald. Why? Because this is Ella Fitzgerald singing in the background here, born in 1917. On this day in 1901, New York became the first state in the Union to require license plates. Wow. How about that? And now New York is one of the only states in the Union that has its license plates made by slave labor in prison. We have potentially a few prisoners. Listen, I shouldn't say slave labor. I think they might be getting paid for it. But prisoners are the ones who make your New York State license plate. Good stuff to know. Just FYI. On this day in 2004, over a million marchers attended a march for March for Women's Lives, it was called, a Women's Rights March. And 11 years earlier, in 1993, over a million people gathered in D.C. for a march for LGBT rights as well, back in 93. In 2013 was the anniversary of Denim Day in Italy. Denim Day was to protest an Italian court's overturning of a rape conviction because the court stated the victim wore jeans. In 1945, the United Nations founded itself in San Francisco. W.E.B. Du Bois, Mary McLeod Bethune, Ralph Bunche, and Walter White, among others, attended the founding of the United Nations in 1945. In ancient Rome, this is a good one. It's Robigalia. Happy Robigalia today. It is the sacrificial rites took place to placate the god of mildew. That's according to the site Our Daily Bleed. We have to really look into that to see if that's really what took place in ancient Rome. But the god of mildew, if there is one, is probably one you would like to placate. Placate? Am I saying that right?
Placate.
Yep. We'll go with it.
All praise be.
Yeah, all praise be to the Rubigalia. Placate the gods of mildew, everyone. In 1943, speaking of mildew, LSD was accidentally discovered by Swiss chemist Albert Hofmann. I'd like to find out what the rest of that story looked like. 2006, urban activist and alternative city planner and writer Jane Jacobs dies. It's Arbor Day. Happy Arbor Day. Plant a tree. It's also Anzac Day in Australia and New Zealand. Anzac stands for the Australia and New Zealand Army Corps. It's to commemorate their joining World War I. It's also the anniversary of the patent for the thimble. This is important stuff. See why I had to cover this stuff, Kaylin? This is, like, really important. When do you think the thimble was patented? Throughout a year. Wild guess.
Oh, gosh. Trying to think how long people have been sewing for. 1910.
1684.
That's
all right. We're not going to hold it against you. I would have never guessed either. Most or some of our listeners may not even know what a thimble is. So, but no comment on that. Anyhow, Kaylin Rock, welcome to the afternoon show. Thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, thanks
really
for having
appreciate
me.
This. I was able to catch a couple of your songs there.
Oh, cool.
And tell folks where they can find your album, B, your songs, and C, where to find you.
Okay, cool. I live right across from the radio station.
No way.
Yeah. I could not get any more local. But for my music, I have a Bandcamp page right now. And so that's just where I host all my music. I have my show dates on there. And then I have links to Facebook and whatnot.
Okay, how do we go to those links and how do we go to Bandcamp?
Sure. So the web address is Kaylin, which I spell my name Kaylin. Rock, R-O-C-K, dot Bandcamp, B-A-N-D-C-A-M-P, .com. And that's where all my stuff is.
Pretty cool, pretty cool. And then the album tomorrow gets released.
Yes,
called
it does.
All Night.
Yep.
Nice. Is this your first album?
No, it is. It's my fifth studio project.
Okay. Well, I think we should just rip right into some music if you're still up for it.
I'd love to, yeah.
Great.
Cool. I'm just going to take my headphones off quick, too.
Okay, no problem. Kaylin Rock, ladies and gentlemen, live on the afternoon show.
Inside, and I don't care if it's noon or
Fantastic. Which one was that?
That was called Everything. And I actually, that's on Bandcamp.
And that is on, that's a great song. That's beautiful.
Thanks.
Awesome voice. When did you, and playing, when did you get into music?
Ever since I was really young, I really wanted to be involved in music in some capacity. But I didn't start writing, I think, until I was like 14 or 16.
Okay, so you, well, that's pretty good. You actually started writing your own songs in your early teens. That's pretty cool. And where are you from?
I'm from Hudson.
You are from Hudson.
Yep.
You're an OG, a Hudson OG.
I'm an OG.
An OG. And you stuck around Hudson. You stuck it out.
I did. I can't, to be honest, I left after college and lived in a whole bunch of different cities, and then I came back.
Mm-hmm.
So... yeah, by the time I came back, Hudson was so different.
Yeah,
yeah, it doesn't
I bet.
Feel like the same place I grew
Talk
up.
Talk a little bit about that, how it was growing up around here, and what would you say the main change has been, or how would you categorize when people ask me, wow, Hudson has changed so much, or I say Hudson has changed so much, and like, well, how do you mean? What's different about it? It's just interesting topic. So how would you characterize it?
Well, I think... the Hudson's changed so much because of just like the independent businesses that we're fostering. It's fantastic. When I was younger, there was nothing to do down here. And yeah, when I was a teenager, all you did was you went to the movie theater and then you walked across the street to Walmart. And that's why I try to get away as far as possible.
Now Walmart's back on the same street as the movies. I mean, on the same side of the street.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Actually, it has its own town back there now. It's like...
oh, Walmartville.
Walmartville.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. Mega Walmart. And the old Walmart now houses the Steiner Library. And,
oh, I didn't know that.
It's some independent space. The local, I think, Free Columbia. People with the... affiliated with the Waldorf communities and the Steiner Anthroposophical communities. They have a space there that houses an amazing library.
That's fantastic. I didn't
know
that.
Yeah, the old Walmart building.
I think things have changed just like so drastically within like 5 to 10 years that...
Listening to the WGXC News Update. I'm Alana Medlock. Siobhan Berkemey reports in the New York Times about the American Dance Institute's move to Catskill. The group broke ground earlier in the month at a former lumber yard along Catskill Creek in the village. In addition to opening upstate in a few years, the Institute is expanding its role as a presenter of dance and opening its first New York City season with a 5-week series at the Kitchen starting June 2nd. The nonprofit has a new office in the Flatiron District in New York City, with the Catskill location scheduled to open in 2018. Read the full story in the New York Times. William J. Kemble reports in the Daily Freeman that many speakers at a state public service commission hearing May 26th about the state's energy policy did not like the current plans to use nuclear power. 16 people attended the public hearing about the state's Reforming the Energy Vision plan. The plan includes wind and solar power systems, creating microgrids for communities, and developing bioenergy sources and nuclear power as ways to reduce emissions of greenhouse gases by 40% by the year 2030 and 80% by 2050. Dutchess County legislator Joel Tyner said, quote, "We're talking about real kids getting real cancer from nuclear reactors that you are promoting. We're talking about real mothers dealing with real infant mortality issues and their babies dying from nuclear reactors that you and your organization are promoting," end quote. Kenneth Ponza, a former Woodstock town councilman, was the only speaker who supported nuclear power plants, specifically near Lake Ontario. Quote, "The Jenna and Fitzpatrick nuclear plants combined represent about 1,500 megawatts of capacity and will generate about 12,000 gigawatt hours of zero carbon electricity," he said. Quote, "If these plants close, this amount of zero carbon generation would increase the already formidable requirement for renewable generation by 36%, end quote. Jennifer Metzger, a Rosendale town councilwoman and co-founder of the group Citizens for Local Power, said, quote, "It's also about the impact of fossil fuel infrastructure on our communities. The town of Rosendale is fighting a project to build pipelines carrying fracked and volatile Bakken crude oil through our lands and water. We and other communities along the Pilgrim Path will bear the risk for a project that directly contradicts New York's climate and energy goals," end quote. Read the full story in the Daily Freeman. Jordan Carleo Evangelist reports in the Albany Times-Union that the proposal to criminalize refusing additional security screenings at Albany International Airport met with much opposition at a public hearing May 24th, and County Attorney Daniel Lynch says the proposal likely violates the Fourth Amendment. Albany County Sheriff Craig Apple requested the law at the request of the Transportation and Safety Administration's Upstate Airport Security Director. Apple believes terrorists should not be able to test security procedures by leaving lines when asked for additional screenings. The county legislature's Public Safety Committee tabled the legislation after hearing the opposition at the hearing. Read the full story in the Albany Times-Union. New York's Department of Transportation did not shut down Route 9H on May 25th, and instead, Route 9H and Route 23 between U.S. Route 9 and Orchard Road will be closed beginning at 9 a.m. Tuesday, May 31st. Traffic will be directed to follow a posted detour. The road will be closed for construction until approximately November 11th, 2016. This has been the WGXC News Update.
I'm Dr. Anthony Lizowitz, and this is Climate Connections.
The world's forests absorb about 2.4 billion tons of carbon dioxide each year, and that's equivalent to about a third of the carbon dioxide released by burning fossil fuels.
That's Paul Trianoski, Chief Conservation Officer at the Sustainable Forestry Initiative. Unfortunately, forests, these amazing sponges that soak up carbon, are increasingly vulnerable to insects and disease as the climate changes. Warmer temperatures, changes in rainfall, and droughts all take a toll. Preventing deforestation and restoring damaged forests are therefore more critical than ever. Trianoski says sustainable forest management is also key. Thinning forests can prevent overcrowding and reduce disease, and prescribed burns can support healthy forests by clearing out excessive underbrush and allowing native vegetation to grow back. By protecting trees and forests, we can help reduce global warming. And that's not all.
Forests contribute to the benefits and values that we all care about every day, things like clean water and clean air, wildlife habitat, and just quality of life. All of those things are contributed to by well-managed and healthy forests.
Climate Connections is produced by the Yale Center for Environmental Communication. Learn more at yaleclimateconnections.org.
With the Workers' Independent News In Depth, I'm Joanne Powers. In a major victory for American workers, the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals in Chicago ruled Thursday evening that healthcare software company Epic Systems in Verona, Wisconsin, could not require mandatory arbitration agreements where employees are forced to waive their rights through collective and class actions. The court says such agreements violate Section 7 of the National Labor Relations Act, which sets out employee rights on the job. Caitlin Madden is one of the lawyers who brought the case to the Seventh Circuit.
One of those rights is the right to join with other employees to discuss with their employees
employer issues of their compensation and their conditions of employment. Arbitration agreements that require employees to bring any claims they have individually prevents employees from joining together. The history of the National Labor Relations Act makes clear that it's very important to provide individual workers with a counterbalance to the power of the employer. Allowing employees to join together is an important way to do that.
Arbitration agreements have recently been the focus of several major cases focusing on employee rights. Tara Zumer has filed a similar wage and hour case against office-sharing company WeWork, which had all employees sign away their rights not only to class action claims, but also the right to trial by jury.
They shielded themselves from following federal and state labor laws. To have paragraphs that are included that strip you of that right, that say that every person has to go up against this huge entity individually, and the arbitrators are paid for by the company, it's just designed to be a flawed system, putting the employees at a disadvantage. It really is privatization of the court system. It robs people of their ability to fight a fair fight and have access to a jury of their peers. As a citizen, that's something I never want to give up, whether it's sexual harassment, age discrimination, wage theft. All these issues should go to court.
Thursday's decision agrees in many ways with one the National Labor Relations Board has recently taken in a case against hardware chain Menards. Seth Goldstein of the Office and Professional Employees International Union Local 153 in New York brought the case against Menards.
These types of agreements are not agreements. They're basically adhesion contracts that are forced on employees when they work for employers. There is no bargaining that goes on when a employee is told that they have to sign these agreements. And if they refuse to sign the agreement, they lose their jobs.
The Seventh Circuit, the new ruling gives Zumer hope for her case and several others currently working their way through the courts.
You talk to just about any average citizen and they say, there's no way that's legal. But right now we don't have anything protecting people. So every single ruling from the NLRB, every single case that an employee is brave enough to bring against an employer who's done them wrong, every one of those is important.
Brought to you by the IBEW, 750,000 men and women powering the way for an American comeback. Information on how to become an International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers Power Professional is online at ibew.org.
You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Next, we have an interview with Brad Poster, Executive Director of United Way for Columbia and Greene Counties, who sat down with WGXC's Alana Medlock.
Hi, I'm Brad Poster with the United Way of Columbia and Greene Counties.
Hi, Brad.
Hello.
Can you tell me a little bit about how your chapter got started, how long you guys have been operating?
Oh, my. Well, the United Way of Columbia and Greene Counties actually was chartered on February 27th, 1931.
Wow.
And it was not called the United Way then. It was a community chest. In the 60s, it was decided to join the United Way of America, and we became the United Way of Columbia County. It was then in the 70s that it was necessary to have a second office in Greene County, but the founding fathers decided to make it one office serving both counties.
Oh, wow. And how long have you been involved?
I've been involved since about 2007 as a volunteer on the board and then chairman of the board and then director in 2010.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
I know that you've got a bunch of interesting events coming up. Maybe you could tell me a little bit about those.
We do. This June, the first Saturday in June, on June 4th, we're holding our sixth annual Electronic Recycling Day. We'll be at the Columbia Greene Community College from 9 to 12. And if you're wondering what we take, if it plugs in the wall, we take it.
So old, does it have to work? Can it be broken?
No, it does not have to work. So old, anything with a plug. And listen, last year we had two Hello Kitty telephones. And
I want one of those.
Yeah. And back in the 60s and 70s, it was very popular to have an organ in the family home. And we took three of those in.
Wow.
Plus old computers. We will this year take items with Freon, but there's a $10 fee to drop it off because there's certain federal laws on capturing Freon.
And what happens to all the stuff that gets donated?
There's a company in Syracuse that sends out trucks. They pick it up, and everything is recycled. The metals, the plastic is ground up, the glass is ground up, everything is recycled.
Really cool. And when is that again?
This is June 4th, Columbia Greene Community College. It's free. It's held by the United Way and sponsored by Bill Williams at iHeartRadio.
And did you say that there was another interesting event coming up?
The biggest fundraiser of the summer is the United Way Leo Lasher Catfish Derby. This is our sixth year. We started, of course, 6 years ago, and we only had 38 people. Last year we had almost 400 people, two national sponsors, and we profited $10,227. Every penny was back into the community working within 8 weeks of the event.
Wow. And what is a catfish derby?
Well, this is a fishing contest for all ages. The intent is to bring in the longest catfish of the day. The contest ends at 2 o'clock, and whoever has the longest catfish of the day gets five $100 bills, crispy bills. And we award prizes for about the top 10 catfish in the adults and children. Children are 12 years and younger. So we have a lot of challenges. The Columbia Memorial Health Challenge from the hospital and the foundation is for a team of four fishermen, and the combined lengths of four catfish will win a charter fishing trip on the Hudson River. Then we have the Ed Harrington's Lumber Kids Casting Contest for 12 years and younger. We also have the Mid-Hudson Cable Challenge, and this is the first year we're having this. This is for the smallest catfish entered by a child up to 12 years old. And then we have the overall kids division, where a child 12 years or younger, the longest catfish wins a bicycle and lots of other prizes.
Wow, that sounds like a lot of fun to watch, even if you're not actually fishing and participating in the competition.
It's hysterical fun. DJ Jack Bogarski provides music and a public address system. Bill Williams is out there for a couple hours with the radio. Big Top Tent Rentals provides the tent. Save-A-Lot provides the food. Kohl's Department Store provides the volunteers who cook the food. It goes on and on. It's a real community event.
Wow, that's great. And are there any particular programs that that will be benefiting most this year?
Well, we put out an announcement when the profits are counted that the United Way will be accepting applications for grants. And last year we granted 13 local nonprofits with a check for $851.37. And Jill over at Salvation Army told me that was worth over 5,000 pounds of food for her.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah.
That's really great.
And we had 51 fish entered last year. Everyone was released alive into the river.
Oh, that's nice. That's great.
Thank you.
Well, thank you so much for telling me about this stuff. Is there anything else that people should know that they don't know about what's going on?
Yes. Well, the United Way of Columbia and Greene Counties is in a growing stage right now. We have opened up our membership for new board members. So if anybody is interested in being a volunteer and helping to steer the United Way of Columbia and Greene Counties, just give me a call on my cell phone, 518-755-2155.
Who knows who's going to call you now?
I'm ready.
You might make some new friends.
We can use the help.
That's great. Okay, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Next, the national headlines from Public News Service.
Welcome to the Public News Service Daily Newscast for Friday, May 27th, 2016. I'm Mark Richardson.
Today's news rundown includes Donald Trump, who says he now has the delegates to lock up the GOP presidential nomination. A move is underway in Florida to give nonviolent felons the right to vote. And as we begin Memorial Day weekend, we look at one of the best places for America's veterans to retire. In our top story, to no one's surprise, Republican candidate Donald Trump says he has reached the number of delegates needed to secure the party's presidential nomination. A small number of unbound delegates have said they would support Trump at the party's July convention, putting the New York businessman over the 1,237 delegate threshold he needs to secure the nomination. Trump now awaits the winner of the Democratic primary, which most people expect to be Hillary Clinton. However, a string of primary wins by challenger Bernie Sanders has made that race closer in recent weeks. A major scandal and shakeup at Baylor University in Texas, where the college president has been relieved of most of his duties and the football coach has been fired. University president Ken Starr and head coach Art Briles were accused of failing to investigate a string of rapes by Baylor football players. Starr is best known as the special prosecutor whose investigation of President Bill Clinton for lying about having sex with a White House intern resulted in his impeachment. Starr will remain as chancellor of the private Baptist university. The first ever implant to fight addiction to opioids, a class of drugs that includes prescription painkillers and heroin, has been approved by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. The matchstick-sized implant administers a drug for up to 6 months and is used along with behavioral therapy and recovery support. Its makers say it is less likely to be abused or resold, as is often the case with existing oral therapies. Civil rights advocates in several states are leveling criticism at elected officials for filing a lawsuit against the Obama administration for guidance on how schools should treat transgender students. Governors and attorneys general in Texas and 10 other states want to overturn Justice Department instructions that transgender students be allowed to use the restroom that corresponds with their gender identity. Dan Quinn, a spokesman for the group Equality Texas, describes the lawsuit as nothing more than political theater designed to bully vulnerable children.
This is another example of our state's top elected officials playing politics with people's lives. So these are already vulnerable kids who simply want to be able to use the restroom without being harassed and bullied.
Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton reflected the sentiments of officials in most of the states joining the suit, saying it wasn't a civil rights issue, but an unconstitutional overreach by the federal government. More than 1 in 10 Floridians and nearly a quarter of African Americans in Florida will be shut out of the polls this November because of past mistakes. But civil rights activists say they hope to change that.
Congressman Alan Grayson of Orlando has introduced legislation in the U.S. House that would restore voting rights to people after leaving prison, with the exception of those convicted of murder, manslaughter, or sex crimes. While some believe those who commit serious crimes deserve to permanently forfeit their right to vote, Grayson calls this the civil rights cause of the 21st century.
We have to make sure that we never discriminate, either in intention or effect, in either cause or impact, in any way against any group of people.
Florida is one of just three states to permanently disenfranchise former felons, a policy that affects an estimated 1.5 million people in the state. I'm Mona Shand reporting.
In California, the Public Utilities Commission has approved a new power plant in Oxnard over the objections of the city council and clean energy advocates. Suzanne Potter has more.
The Puente Power Project, a 262-megawatt peaker plant backed by NRG Energy, would be the fourth power plant in this low-income coastal city. Mayor Pro Tem Carmen Ramirez says the PUC should have put it off until a review is completed that takes environmental justice into account.
It's time for the Public Utilities Commission to get off fossil fuel, to treat minority communities such as ours fairly, to share the burden and not create these sacrifice zones, which is our city.
Clean energy advocates voiced their opposition at today's PUC meeting in San Francisco.
Circus clowns and animal rights advocates crowded Pittsburgh City Council chambers this week, speaking their minds about a proposed ban on wild animal acts in the city. The ordinance, based on a similar law in San Francisco, would prohibit performances involving wild or exotic animals. Kristen Tulo with the Humane Society of the United States says many people have fond memories of going to the circus as children to see lions, monkeys, and elephants perform.
But we now have a lot more information. We're much wiser and better informed that the animals being used are being denied everything that's natural and important to them.
So far, there's been no vote on the proposed ordinance. Opponents of the ban emphasize the bonds between trainers and their animals. As we take time to honor Americans who died in wars on Memorial Day, a new survey points to Maine as one of the top 10 states in the nation for veterans to retire. WalletHub analyst Jill Gonzalez says the survey finds Maine ranks in the top 3 states for quality of life and came in number 13 for health care.
Maine excelled in many areas. First of all, there are a lot of veterans per capita there. We found that a support system really helps veterans out here, especially when they are retired.
Gonzalez notes that Maine also ranks first in the nation in terms of the population who are 40 and older. As a result, she said Maine has a lot of arts, leisure, and recreation options that make the state a great place for anybody to retire, and especially for veterans. And that's the news. I'm Mark Richardson for Public News Service, member and listener supported, and online at publicnewsservice.org.
Unhappy about something you heard on All Together Now? Or maybe you have a strong opinion about an issue. Energy, agriculture, the environment, the Common Core standards, or broadband access. Don't keep it to yourself. Call 518-291-9492 and leave a 3-minute message, and we'll play it on the air. Leave a 3-minute message, 518-291-9492, with your take for all you hear. Again, that number is 518-291-9492. To leave a 3-minute message that may be played on All Together Now. Thanks for getting involved in your local community.
National Weather Service says there could be more rain overnight, 30% chance with a low around 64. Saturday, also a 30% chance of rain with a high near 85 and a low around 67. Rain continues to be a possibility Sunday with a 50% chance of rain, a high near 84 and a low around 64. And then Memorial Day Monday, showers are likely, mostly cloudy with a high near 76. You're listening to 90.7 WGXC Acre. This is Tamara with the community calendar for WGXC. Go to WGXC.org and click on the community calendar to find out more about what's going on in your community. And you can even add your own event. Click on the Add an Event button and copy and paste the information about your local community event in. Soon folks like me will read it on the radio, and folks around the world will see it online at WGXC.org in the community calendar. Lots going on Saturday, May 28th. There's a garden fair at the Mountaintop Arboretum in Tannersville. That's 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. Also, the Fields Sculpture Park at Omai in Ghent has its summer exhibition opening with artists Rob Fisher, Charlie Friedman, Folkert de Jong, Freya Powell, and Andrea Sava. The Thompson Giro Gallery in Chatham has an opening with Gabe Brown, Steve Carew, Isabel Piazza, and Joseph Yeddo. That's from 4 to 6 p.m. in Chatham. Also Saturday, May 28th, the show Leading Ladies is at the Bridge Street Theater in Catskill, an evening of comedic readings for women by the Blue Horse Repertory Company with works from Christopher Durang, Jane Martin, and Charles George, directed by Flo Hale. That's at 8 p.m. at the Bridge Street Theater in Catskill. Stephen Bloom and Kaylin Rock perform at the Spy Dog Books and Ale Saturday, May 28th in Catskill in Hudson. And Deadly Dragon Sound, Scratch Famous, and Johnny Go Figure are at the Half Moon in Hudson Saturday, May 28th at 8 p.m. Dear Dorian and Emily Ritz perform the same night at Club Helsinki in Hudson.
Goodman, host of Democracy Now!, your daily grassroots global, unembedded, independent, international investigative news hour, broadcasting live every weekday morning at 8 here on WGXC 90.7 FM in Greene and Columbia counties.
I'm Philip Grant, one of the contributors to All Together Now. Listen to Democracy Now! In the morning and All Together Now! In the evening, WGXC's collaborative hour-long news show at 6 p.m., featuring local and regional news, weather updates, and newsmaker interviews on WGXC 90.7 FM, listener-supported hands-on radio.
Democracy Now! At 8.
All Together Now! At 6 p.m.
Here on WGXC 90.7 FM.
Next, it's time for the Hudson Valley Song of the Day, a performance from a musician visiting the Capital Region or Hudson Valley, or who regularly plays around these parts.
Hudson's Marilyn Miller performs at the Main Street Pub in Philmont Friday, May 27th. Here's Marilyn Miller, John Wooden, and Foggy Otis performing California Dreamin' April 5th, 2016 at Helsinki in Hudson.
All the leaves are brown, and the sky is gray. All the leaves are brown.